So the exploration of Simchas Torah begins Moed Katan Daf Ches Amud Beis in the Mishnah. Mishnah tells us that Einos Nashim Moed, that you're not allowed to get married in Chol Moed. Mishnah Maseches Beitzah tells us a slew of Isurim Drabanan, Gzeros, that apply both on Yom Tov and on Shabbos, among which are different transactional activities, whether they are personal, family transactions, status changes, chalitza, kiddushin, and so forth, or whether they're financial transactions, buying and selling, forbidden, gezeirah shama yichtov. Obviously, there are plenty of records that are kept and shtaris that are signed at a marriage, and there are also documentation, you know, the receipts, and so on and so forth, for a financial transaction. So gezeirah shama yichtov, those are all forbidden on Shabbos, forbidden on Yom Tov. Then the Mishnah in Moed Katan, which is about Chol Moed, Mishnah Daf Ches Beis tells us you're not allowed to get married on Chol Moed either. Not because of Gzeirah Shem Yichtov. Not because of Gzeirah Shem Yichtov. The Gemara has a host of explanations for why this is. At least three, four explanations. How come Chazal imposed this? How come it's forbidden to get married b'moed? So there are some of the answers are clearly gzeros. Gzeros that may take, you know, may get involved with this, may get involved with that. It may be vatal prior for review, where if you're allowed to get married chol moed, people are going to push off weddings that could have happened months earlier. But at the beginning of the sugya, the Gemara assumes that it's ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. That's the opening reason is ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. It's forbidden to mix one simcha with another. The Gemara then goes on to give a second answer, which sounds similar but sounds more specific. The samachta bechagecha velo beishtecha. The simple reading of the Gemara is that those are two separate answers. The Gemara goes on the following amen on test amen alf to wonder what's the makar for ein ma'arvin simchu simcha. The Gemara says it's based on Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech, the psukim, the highlight that Shlomo HaMelech set aside 7 days to celebrate the completion of the construction of the first Beis HaMikdash, which he undertook, 7 days apart from the 7 days of Yantav. And the Gemara ultimately says, we saw Gemara says it's not just that it worked out that way, but that the language of the psukim makes it clear that it didn't just work out, that it was deliberate. There was 7 days and 7 days for a total of 14 days. The psukim are highlighting that even if it would have been practical, even if it would have worked out, that sukkah should be those 7 days of milum as well, Shlomo HaMelech would have avoided it. This is b'chavana, because you cannot have them overlapping. And that's the makar for Eima Arvin Simcha. B'simcha Tosis and Chesna Beis quote Yerushalmi with a different makar, a makar from psukim in Chumash. Lavan says to Yaakov, Malei Shavua Zos. First finish the week of Shivus Yemei HaMishta for Leah, and then you can go ahead and marry Rachel. Also an example of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. We don't want to have overlap in the Yerushalmi between the Simcha of Nisue Leah and the Simcha of Nisue Rachel. The Bava's example, you don't want to have overlap between the Simcha of Yom Tov, of Sukkot, and the Simcha of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Both of these are broader than this. Both of those are sources for, the first Shita in the Gemara, the first explanation the Gemara had for Ein Nos Nashim Moed, Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, which is broader, any two Simchas. They could both be marriages, or they could neither be marriages. Right? It could be Nisui Rachel Nisui Leah, or it could be Beis HaMikdash and Yom Tov. The second day in the Gemara sounded like it was more specific. Specifically, you can't have a mix of Nisuin and Yom Tov. Tosfos wonders, how about other smachos? Have a bris or a pinya ben on Chol Moed, is that an issue or not? So if you're going to accept the samachta b'chagav v'lo b'ishtecha, it's dafka that second draw. It's a second sheet that's specific. It's drasha specific to the samachta b'chagav v'lo b'ishtecha, specific to the overlap of Yom Tov and Nisuin, so v'lo b'ishtecha, nothing to do with a bris or a pinya ben. But it appears that the Tosis offers an alternative approach, that maybe that's not what it's about. Maybe we do accept Eima Arvin simcha b'simcha, and still it's mutter to have a bris or a pinyan haben on the chol hamoed. How come? How come? Because he says that's not such a significant simcha. That's not such a significant simcha. What do you mean? If you say that the sarach gachol abishkach, it's an exeris akasim, only nisuin. If you say it's more broadly, eim arvin simcha b'simcha, that's an issue again. You say the simcha is based on mikdash also cannot overlap with the simcha yom tov. So it's not specific to nisuin. So what do you mean dafkin nisuin as opposed to the bris and pinyan ben? The pasha pshat, and that's the day that the Rambam quotes, and here in the parak zayin of hilchas shvisas yom tov, that it's eim arvin simcha b'simcha. The broader understanding, and it's the day that the Magen Avraham quotes as well. The Magen Avraham, the side of Shulchan Aruch, Tavkuf Memvav, we saw the Magen Avraham Sivkan Hey, he also quotes specifically that last line of Tosfos. So we do accept the broader Eim Arv Simcha V'Simcha, but it still doesn't apply to Bris Pinya Ben. Why? Because, apparently, because the way we celebrate the Bris Pinya Ben, and it's not with the same enthusiasm and energy that we celebrate Nisuin. Nisuin is Mamish. Mecholos and so on and so forth. Mecholos themselves might not be an issue, but to have a suus nisuin with that sort of enthusiasm and energy, so that's really a marv simcha b'simcha. Presumably based on mikdash also. Sukkim described the quantity of suuda that was being consumed. It was a major event. It's a major event. So it's based on all that. Based on all that, Rav Sternbach and Odom Uzmanim raises a question. He says, one second, how about simchas Torah? Oh, Simchas Torah. Is Simchas Torah like a bris and pinyan ben, which is mutter, or Simchas Torah like a wedding, which is also? So again, if we were to accept the second day in the Gemara, v'samach v'chagach v'lo b'shtecha, the whole din of Enos Noshem Oed is specific to Nisuin and nothing else. Okay. The Simchas Torah is not Nisuin, there's nothing to talk about. But we don't. Rambam quotes Eimar v'simcha, the Magen Avraham, the Tzav Shulchan Aruch, several centuries later, quotes that day and the last day in Taisus, we don't limit it specifically. But you might see have the Tosa still says even according to Eimar v'Simcha v'Simcha, a bris a pinyan ben are not called back not only because ain kivun lehem zman, as one approach that Tosa raised, but even if it's it doesn't have a zman, even if it's not yom hashmini for the bris, even if it's not yom laman of the pinyan ben, we still allow it. Why? Because the quantity of simcha, the quality of the simcha is not so overwhelming. It's not going to distract me in the way that a wedding would. So the question is, well, how about simchas Torah? So we saw that if you look, if you open up the Torah, you look in the Beis Yosef, you look in the Shulchan Aruch and the Nos Hakeilim, the Mishnah Berurah, so you see that there were different versions of the minhagim of simchas Torah over the generations. There were tour makes it sound like that. The minig and the medieval Ashkenaz, they're going to take out different versions. How many Sefer Torah did you take out? How many piyutim would you say? But it wasn't like this overwhelming loads of intensive dancing. But the dancing already is rooted in in Rav Haigon. The dancing is rooted in Rav Haigon, and the Lamaisa, we saw the Mishnah Berurah quotes Arizal and the Vilna Gaon about Yamish, heavy duty dancing. The language they quote about the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, is Mefazes or Mecharkar Rechol Oz. It was dancing, it was full strength dancing. That's the language that's borrowed from the language that the Psukim used to describe with David HaMelech when he was bringing, they were bringing the escorting the Aron towards Yerushalayim. That's the whole episode with Michal. Michal is very upset. She looks out the window. She sees her husband. He's supposed to be the king, and he is. So, to her eye, demeaning the office of the king by dancing in such an extreme way. And he says, "I'll drive it. That's good. That's not about my colors. My Rosh Hashanah's covered, and I'd be more than glad to dance like this. And that's what's appropriate." And he even draws a contrast to himself and her father, Shaul. So that mefazes and mecharki b'chol oz, that Vilna Gaon described as having his hakafas, and that's what our hakafas are like, certainly in a typical year. And the question is, so the chor hakafas should be aser, not aser from a COVID perspective, aser from an eim arvin simcha b'simcha perspective. And if you have tame, docile hakafas, so We walk around the shul with the Sifrei Torah seven times. We make our shanas. Make a kaf is like that. We have a dance for a few minutes. It's amazing, like a bris. But the way we usually prav hakafis, amish, you know, long hakafis, a lot of dancing, ki'ilu, closer to a wedding than to a pinna ben or bris milah. So it's very beautiful, but it should be prav im arv and simcha. It should be beautiful in aser. Im arv and simcha. I'll tell you, no, that's the yontif. Yontif is simcha tara. So you point out the yontif is not simcha tara. That's a misnomer. We call it. It's pre-tension of arv. We refer to the ninth day of Sukkot, or the second day of Shmini Atzeres, as Simchas Torah. Because our practice, our minig is to celebrate the Siyum HaTorah. Our minig is number one, to be assigned the Torah on the second day of Shmini Atzeres, and our minig is to celebrate the Siyum HaTorah on the second day of Shmini Atzeres. But that's... Yeah, we say Yom Simcha Seinu, but Simcha for what? And then we pointed out, you look at the Rambam quote, based on Gemara, he's just documenting what appears in the Gemara Megillah. Daf Lamed Aleph, I believe it was. Gemara says, the Rama has it at the beginning of the Hilchas Tefillah. Rama's Hilchas Tefillah has 15 prakim. That's most of a Hilchas Tefillah, but then at the end he discusses some other topics. He discusses Hilchas Beis HaKnesses, he discusses Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, and then finally he discusses Hilchas Nesias Kapayim, Birkas Kohanim. So I believe it's prakim, Bezir Gimel, the two prakim about Kriyas HaTorah. So he opens up the second of the two prakim, Perek Gimel, by talking about what we lay and when. And he says that there used to be two minhagim about how quickly, at what pace would we make our way through all of Chumash. And there used to be minig Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says in Megillah, minig Eretz Yisrael at the time, but Tkufas HaTalmud, the Amoroi Eretz Yisrael, were on a triennial cycle. They finished once every 3 years, which sometimes nowadays is misunderstood. It doesn't mean that last year, this week, they would have been laying the first third of Chai Yisara, and this year we learned the middle third, and next year the last third. That's absolutely incorrect. That's what some conservative synagogues have that. They keep Rishas Nahal, but they cut down the laning to a third of, but that's not at all what the Minigar Tzol. Minigar Tzol was, you laned straight, but they laned, let's say maybe this week would be the first third of Parsha, what we call Parshas Metzora, then the next week would have been the second, third week called Parsha Mitzvah. The week after would have been the third week called Parsha Mitzvah. And then go on to begin Achrei Mos and so on and so forth. When we think of Parsha Mitzvah as a springtime Parsha. But if you're on a triennial cycle, who knows what it is? It could be some other time of the year. That's why... So that's much shorter. Why that was Minhag HaTorah is a good question. Some suggest it correlates to the fact, it may correlate to Targum. If you're a Matargim, so then it takes around, that's what came on him, tell me, it takes around three times as long to lay in the Targum. It's not just double, because it's also the back and forth time between the Pasuk and the Targum. It takes around three times as long to lay in if you're laying Pasuk, Targum, Pasuk, Targum. So that may be why they were laying in only 40 Pesukim on average as opposed to 120 Pesukim. Now, the Vida as in May, that was Minhag HaTorah Yisrael. The Rambam says, 900 years ago or so, by now it's already... universal that we follow what used to be only Minhag Bavel for laying on an annual cycle. So now there's all over the world Jews are laying on an annual cycle. That's very nice. But clearly, but that's a question of Minhag. So clearly, it's not the Ikar Hadin. It's not the Ikar Hadin that you have to complete the laning every year on Simchas Torah. It's not the Ikar Hadin you have to complete the laning every year. The Ikar Hadin, the Mishnah, say you have to make your way through the laning over the course of time, from week to week, you have to imashlim over the course of many weeks all of Chamisha Chumshei Torah. But what rate you do it, that's not part of the Takan Jabbatim. That's a question of minhag. Our minhag is to finish every year. So clearly, Siyum HaTorah is not a Ikar Hadin part of Shemi Atzeres, or the second day of Shemi Atzeres, neither Min HaTorah nor Jabbatim. In Eretz Yisrael, did they finish once every 3 years on Shemi Atzeres? Maybe. Or again, I don't know, maybe it was like the Daf Yomi. Maybe it was like 3+ years, and every time it was a different season. Miyodeya. So it's clearly not, we call the second day of Shemini Atzeres Simchas Torah because we celebrate Simchas Torah on that day. But that begs the question. Mehecha Teisi, we should. Mehecha Teisi, and specifically the way we do it with very energetic dancing, Mehecha Teisi, we should be allowed to. Isn't it a violation of Eima Arvin Simcha B'Simcha? So the first thing there are two steps. Two phases, I should say, in answering this question. The first phase that Rav Sternbach suggests And he says, look, well, what is simcha? It's only a stira, it's only Eim Arvin Simcha v'Simcha if the two simchas are about two different topics. Whether it's the simcha of marrying Rachel, simcha of marrying Leah, those are orthogonal, or the simcha of Beis HaMikdash and the simcha of Sukkot, both are very holy smachas, or the simcha of getting married and the simcha of Yontif. Again, all wonderful holy things, but each one needs its due, each one needs its focus. Like Tosis, in explaining Eim Arvin Simcha v'Simcha, he compares it to Ein Osin Mitzvos, Chavilos, Chavilos, not to bundle up your mitzvahs, not just line up your mitzvahs, do them assembly line style, give each mitzvah its focus. Each mitzvah is holy, each mitzvah is wonderful, and each one needs its focus. So if it's two separate things, Eim Arvin Simcha v'Simcha. But if it's the same thing, to celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach, not a problem. So the first thing that was, the first half of Sharonbrook's answer is, well, what's Simchas Yontif all about? He says the phrase that's common to all Yom Tovim is Atav V'Chatanim. The davening is so different between Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, and Pesach, and Shavuot. The davening is so different, but each, all of them have Atav V'Chatanim. Bechiras Yisrael through Torah Mitzvahs. So he says, if you want to identify what's the overall theme of Simchas Yontif, we're celebrating the unique relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. There's a larger conversation we had here, also I'll just reference, I'll just footnote, the Rav has in a beautiful Yartzeit Shir. It's one of the differences, think about Shabbos versus Yom Tov. So number one, Shabbos, you HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to our house, Yom Tov, we ideally go to his house, so to speak, Aliyah L'Rav. And moreover, Shabbos has a universal aspect to it. Shabbos is both Zechel Maaseh Bereishis and Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Shabbos is a part of Shabbos, is a unique oath between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, but also another Shabbos is also about the entire Bria, the entire cosmos, all of humanity, all of civilization, all the entire universe. Its creation is celebrated on Shabbos. So Shabbos has a universal aspect to it, whereas Yontif tends to be almost entirely particularistic. Yontif is all about specifically the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Again, that's why Atav V'Chatanu is the sort of this defining phrase that cuts through all the Yom Tovim. So Rosh Terma says, look, if the theme of Simchas Yontif is Bechiras Yisrael, so then Simchas Torah is not an unrelated theme, it's not orthogonal. That's exactly, we're celebrating Bechiras Yisrael. That's what Simchas Torah is all about. That the Ein Emunah Seinu Uma El Al Pi HaTorah, that the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah mitzvahs, that's what crafted these unique responsibilities, are what craft our relationship with Moshe. So he says, if Simchas Yom Tov was the same every Yom Tov, then Simchas Yom Tov would be all about Bechiras Yisrael, and as such, that would be the Teretz of the Kasha, because Simchas Torah is the salvation of Bechiras Yisrael. However, he says, let's examine that's true. Yesh Lachker, says Rosh Terbach, Yesh Lachker, whether Simchas Yom Tov is, there's one pasuk the mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov applies to all the Yom Tovim. The question is, does it always have the same flavor or not? Is it the same Simchas Yontif every Yontif? Or is there a mitzvah to, at each Yontif, celebrate the specific theme of that Yontif? Is it a din klali? It's the same generic Simchas Yontif every Yontif? Or is it a din prati, specific? In other words, there's a mitzvah Simchas Yontif to celebrate on each Yontif the specific theme of that Yontif. We had mentioned at the time, I'll just give a hat tip, to the fact that hakira, Kali Prati, is a very, very powerful hakira that comes up in a number of situations. We have a din, the same din applies in different scenarios. Often when you have something that applies to many different mitzvahs, or many different isurim, discussion about Chatzi Shir. Chatzi Shir, also in the Torah, we pass in the beginning of the last paragraph of Yuma. But when I violate either Chatzi Shir, Nevela, either Chatzi Shir, Bas V'chalava, is it just a general Isra of Chatzi Shir, Isra Kali, or it's a partial violation of that specific din with all the flavor and specific quirks of that particular din? It's chatzi shir klali or prati. Hidr mitzvah. Lifnei iver, is it the same avera lifnei iver regardless of what avera I enabled you to do? Or does it mean, no, lifnei iver means I become a junior partner in whatever that specific avera is. So this is a chakir to keep your eyes on, klali prati. And one of the examples, again, is right here. Simchas Yontif. So there's a mitzvah Simchas Yontif and applies to 5-6 different Yom Tovim. So is it always the same content? Bechiras Yisrael? So Rav Sternberg proves it cannot be that Simchas Yontov is only a din klali, and his raya is from that the Gemara later in Pesachim. The Gemara in Perek Elu Dvarim later in Pesachim, and the sugya of Chetzel Hashem and Chetzel Chaim. You remember that the Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua were both Shem Nikra Echad Darshu. They disagree over how to implement Simchas Yontov, but they're both shitas are driven by the same wrinkle in the psukim. Because you have a stira, whether Simchas Yontov is supposed to be Lashem or Lachem. Simchas Yontov is supposed to be expressed physically, spiritually or physically. Should it be Lashem or should it be Lachem? So but they're both bothered by that stira, but they have different ways of resolving that stira. Rabbi Eliezer says, when you have an unresolvable, unreconcilable stira, and there is no kasa v'ashlishi achriya b'reyem, Rabbi Eliezer says, then when you do, you say it must be, it's either or. It's disjunctive. It means you get to choose whether you want A or B. O kul Hashem, O kul Lachem. While Rabbi Yeshua says, no, it's conjunctive. It means you're supposed to do some of both. Chetzel Hashem and Chetzel Lachem. Split your day. But then the Gemara goes on to say that even Rabbi Lezer has to be moda. Even Rabbi Lezer says that Pesach you could go kul Hashem. Rabbi Lezer says Sukkot you could go kul Hashem. But Shavuos, Hakol Moed Batzeres Bein Amlechem. You cannot celebrate Shavuos entirely through spiritual simcha. It can't just be more learning and more hallel and so on and so forth. It has to also be a physical, you have to be adding a physical element to your simcha as well. Why? Because Yom Shinit Nebo Torah. You cannot celebrate Matan Torah only through spiritual simcha. So why that is a good question, and it seems to speak, as we mentioned then, to the fact that we reject Christianity and Zoroastrianism and dualism on the one hand and paganism on the other hand, and we assume that the goal of Torah is not to tell us to disconnect from physicality, nor to just give us license to do whatever we want physically. The goal of Torah is to tell us how to engage physicality in a disciplined, structured, focused way to make kaddish the gashmis. That's a big part of what Torah trains us to do. And as such, the simcha of Matan Torah has to include a physical element. That's how some Sefer Machshava explain it. Be that as it may, it's clear in the sugya of Simchas Yontov, which is that sugya in Daf Samaches, Lachem Lashem, is the question of how you magnify Simchas Yontov. It's clear that the rules aren't always the same across Sefer Yontov. It depends what it is that you're celebrating. So it says Rav Sternberg, Raya Machrachas, that Simchas Yontov has a prati element to it. So it's not enough to, and now that's relevant there in terms of having a lachem piece, even according to Belezer on Shavuos, relevant to us because it means the solution to why is Simchas dance Simchas Torah mutter. It cannot be solely, well, Yontif is about Bechiras Israel. Yeah, but we also have to think about the specific content of each Yontif, because Simchas Yontif is not just about Bechiras Israel in general. It's also about on Shavuos Yom Shin Eba Torah, and on Pesach it's Yitzias Mitzrayim and so forth. So to explain why, to defend Simchas Torah, we're going to have to explain why not only it's not a stira to general Simchas Yontov HaKlali, but it's also not a stira to the Simcha Pratis of Shemini Atzeres. And in doing so, we'll also answer another question, which is, Taka, why is the Simcha Torah celebrated on the second day of Shemini Atzeres? The answer to that appears to be the following. This is what I'm about to say. It's a little bit different than the way Sternbach presents it. If you look at the Psukim in Parshas Pinchas, if you notice that there are four different categories of Musafin, of Tamidim Musafin. There's the basic two Kvasim for the everyday, for Tamid and for Shabbos. And then, among the non-everyday things, there are three categories. There's the basic Yomtiv, which is Rosh Chodesh, Pesach, Shavuos. The Sukkot has its own system. And then, you have the third category is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which sounds like it's Yom Naram, Yimei Hadin. Now, the curiosity is that Shemini Atzeres is not with the other Yamim Tovim, nor is it with Sukkot, but instead it's with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's one par, one aisle, and seven kosim. Not two, one and seven. Let's talk of the pshat. So the chari, you see, the Shemini Atzeres, that category is not Yimei Hadin. Shemini Atzeres is actually one of the only Yom Tovim which is not a Yom Hadin, according to the Mishnah first paragraph of Rosh Hashanah. That category is not the 117 karbah, it's not Yimei Hadin, it's not Yimei Ava. It's Yimei Kirvas Elokim. Rosh Hashanah Kippur are the bookends of the Asar Yamim that are the days of Dir Shem Behimatzo, and Shemini Atzeres apparently joins that as well. That's in fact the Gemara and the Sukkah that Rashi quotes on those Pesukim of the Musaf of Shemini Atzeres. The Ikvi, Karshlai Pei Daschem, It's all about the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's so much love. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants one more day. It's a celebration of pure Kirvas Elokim. There are no mitzvahs masyos. It's just about our intimate relation with the Ribbono Shel Olam. As such, Shmi Atzeret specifically, what that translates into, is Shmi Atzeret specifically, not only the Simcha Kolos of all Yom Tovim is at Bechiras Yisrael, but Shmi Atzeret, that's actually the specific topic of Shmi Atzeret. The specific content, the Simcha Pratis of Shmi Atzeret is Vayter Bechiras Yisrael. That's what the Yom specifically is about. Kashlai Predaslim. It's the happy, it's the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur minus the somber overlay of Sifre Chaim, Sifre Mesim, Suchim Ufanov. It's the Kirvas Elokim, not the heaviness of Yemei Hadin. The decisions are done, now we can just enjoy the relationship. Once you make your decisions, the dates are have a newfound flavor to them. So that's the Simcha of Shmini Atzeres, and once you understand that, we understand, number one, why thematically it makes sense that no better day for Siyum HaTorah than Shmini Atzeres. It's all about Bechiras Yisrael, all about our relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam, and there's no technical concern of Eima Arvin Simcha B'Simcha either, because Siyum HaTorah is the best expression, best type of celebration of Bechiras Yisrael, which is not only the Simcha Yom Tov in general, but the Simcha of Shmini Atzeres in particular. Go ahead.